We all have something that we're good at, but many people do not take the time to identify those things due to the lack of faith, or they just don't know what to do in order to take action. I was honored to speak with Clifton Mbanugo, who started Clifton Creative Web Design after he created a list of things he was good at. So he had to get uncomfortable, had an enormous amount of faith, and took massive actions, which is some of the things he had to do to create a lucrative business and legacy for his family. Hey, please join us on this episode. This is Why Not You. And I am joined today by the great Clifton.
What's going on, brother?
How you doing?
I am blessed, man. Blessed and highly favored.
I heard that. Man, yeah. I'm so excited to have you on today, man. This is going to be an amazing show.
Yes,
absolutely
indeed.
Amazing.
I'm excited to be on, man.
Cool.
This is going to be great.
It is.
I'm excited to be on.
That's right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Absolutely. I just want to let everybody know, man, Clifton is doing it big. This brother has created his own web company, web design, web development, search engine optimization. He's a creator, founder, chief. He's the CEO, the COO.
Yes.
He's doing it all.
Of it.
All of it. All of it. And he is definitely taking action and having that faith to put those dreams into action. I love it.
Thank
so one
you.
Thing before we get started, Brother Cliff.
Yes.
I got to start it off with the quote of the day.
Okay.
I actually have a couple because they align with what you're doing. And
oh,
how
man.
You actually took your faith into action and you just made it happen. So this is a quote by Zig Ziglar. Motivation gets you going and the habits get you there.
That is so correct.
And here's another one by the great Dr. Martin Luther King. Take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Beautifully and well said, man.
Thank you. So can you share with the people, you know, how you actually got started?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, this was something that came out of a lot of contemplation, but I'll tell you the story around how I ended up with my company. So my company is Clifton Creative Web, and we develop beautiful and effective websites for businesses. And this version of my business is 15 years old. And it didn't actually start off as a web design business. It actually started off as a business online marketing company. But essentially what happened was, prior to this, I was working in real estate. I had become a real estate investor during the real estate boom and started investing in some properties. I actually got a little bit of education on how to do it, mm-hmm. and started executing on that education, and it was working. At the time, I was actually working for a title company. So I was already kind of itching. A title company is where you go after you buy a house and they do all the title search on the house. So I worked in that division in escrow, and I'd always be, you know, processing these real estate files, these escrow files, and you're printing the checks for the buyer and the seller and the mortgage person. And some of these checks are pretty nice checks. And I'd always ask myself, how can I be on the other side of this? Because where I was, I kind of felt like I was on the wrong side of it.
Right.
My friend then said, hey, you know, if you want, you got to learn how to become a real estate investor. So we both went out to a seminar. And I remember in the seminar, the guy stood up at the front and he's like, only 1% of you guys, of everything I'm going to teach you, only 1% of you are actually going to do it. And even less than that are going to follow through on doing it after you do it. And I was like, I'm going to be that 1%. So, and I was, I mean, he literally taught the strategy and I went out and started implementing it, failed multiple times, but eventually I learned some things, I picked up on it, and I started buying and flipping homes, mm-hmm. and did very well. Did so well that I quit that job and, you know, went over to my boss and I was like, I'm leaving and don't worry, you guys are going to be processing my escrows. Somebody bringing my file through and you're going to be printing my checks and, you know,
That's right.
I was just so proud of myself. You know, that's the dream, right? You get to quit your job and tell your boss to take a hike and and all that. But I did it respectfully because I actually liked my boss and, you know, she was real good. Well, fast forward about a year and a half, and the real estate market wasn't as vibrant as it was when I quit that job. And so, you know, and it happened at one of those times where I made a pretty significant investment in a deal. Mm-hmm. And this was the investment that was actually going to retire me. This was going to set me up, set up my family. We're going to be set up for life. Once this went through, we would never have to worry about finances again at this point. So, you know, I did the one thing that, you know, I took the one risk you really shouldn't be taking, but I did. I just put it in all the chips and I think, let's go, let's make this happen. Cause I really wanted the biggest return that I could get. And man, as soon as I did that, I just, you know, it all fell apart and everybody remembers 2008.
Right. So, did you have like a feeling on the inside though? Like, you know, sometimes you get that gut feeling. Did you have like a gut feeling or anything like saying, man, maybe I should wait? Or did you just kind of feel like, I'm just going to go for it?
No, I was on adrenaline. I was like, yes, this is, you know, I mean, cause I had such a winning streak, you know, and mm-hmm. I was like, everything I touched turned to gold and prayed about it. And, you know, I had all the, you know, everything was beautiful. There was no reason why it shouldn't have worked, but you know, it's like the rain and the sun, right? Mm-hmm. It falls on everybody. The sun shines on everybody, rich, poor, fortunate, unfortunate, and the mm-hmm. rain is the same way, right? So sometimes things outside of your control are going to happen, mm-hmm. and that's the risk that you take. So I never worried about things that were out of my control. I only worried about things that were in my control, and it was in my control to make this investment. So I did it, and it failed, and it failed very badly. And I went from, you know, high six-figure net worth to two-figure net worth. And by two, I mean under $50. So, and so when that happened, when, you know, I pretty much lost everything and had a wife and had a baby on the way at the time. And, you know, when it happened, I kind of saw it coming. And because I had a baby on the way, I was already sort of setting things aside for my daughter who was coming, and I, you know, bought a crib and diapers and milk and things, and I was planning and, you know, putting it all on a card. And then they cut the card.
Are you
Oh yeah, they cut the card. They're like, this is unusual spending and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I didn't have a way to pay back the card at the time. So I was down that $52 or $52. That's what it was. It was $52 that I was down to in cash. And then, you know, all your stuff that you have. And so, and then you just started from there. And at that point, I had to talk with my wife, and we had to figure out what to do because everything was falling apart. The mm-hmm. foreclosures, I lost all the homes that I bought. Oh, wow. The renters that I had all stopped paying rent. The lenders all wanted their money. So it was just snowballed from then on. But in that moment, I said, well, I have to figure out something to do. And if you remember 2008, there was also a jobs crisis, except it was a crisis where there were no jobs. So mm-hmm. nobody was hiring. I even tried to be a police officer and they weren't hiring. I said, no, we don't need any people right now. And so I tried all these things, but what ended up happening was I said, you know, well, I have to, you know, I've got to find a way to provide for my family. And what I did was I took out a notebook and I made a list. And on this list, I just listed every single thing that I knew how to do and that I was good at, because I knew that if I could do it, then I could probably provide some kind of value in some way.
Right.
And I actually got the idea by reading, I read a book from Brian Tracy at the time. I don't know if you know Brian Tracy.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think the book was The Psychology of Selling. It was a book on audio tape, but I read this book and he was big on writing lists. And one of the lists he used to have people write was a goals list. But another list that he used to have people write was just stuff that you can sell, stuff that you're good at. And you wrote things that were tangible and things that were intangible. Mm-hmm. And I just wrote down all these things, and I had a nice list. I had, I was a good artist, so I could draw. So I wrote drawing. Maybe I could be a painter of some sort. I wrote salsa dancing, because I could salsa dance, and maybe I could do salsa dance lessons. You charge by the hour. People will have fun doing that. I even wrote other weird things like strength, like strong. I'm strong, so I can move stuff. So maybe I could help people move their homes. And back then, people were moving out of their homes. A lot That's of moving, right? Right? So I was like, I could definitely do that. And I had all kinds of things on the list: cooking, catering. I was gonna, you know, I'm Nigerian. I can cook Nigerian food, and whatever I can't cook, then I have my wife cook it, and we could sell that. We bake cookies. All these things.
Yeah.
Just looking for a thing. But one of the things that was on the list was web design and computer programming. So I'd studied computer science in college, and I'd actually done some web design at the local community college as well. And, you know, at the time that I was taking that course, it really wasn't a big thing. It wasn't really very much in demand. But I remember my teacher at the time, and he was saying, you know, learn these languages. There's four languages: HTML, JavaScript, CSS, and PHP. He said, learn these languages because they're going to be important in the future. And this was like maybe 7-8 years ago. So, and I'd built some websites, you know, since then, just very rudimentary things. So I put that down. And later on, I looked at the list, and I actually tried out some of those things on the list. I tried the salsa dancing, which was cool. Yeah. I was charging like $50 an hour, and, you know, $65 if you're a couple, and teaching people how to dance. And that actually led to a part-time gig with the City of Concord Recreational Department. And they were like, hey, we'll have you come teach our recreational people how to dance. So I had a little curriculum there. But I didn't really enjoy doing that very much, and it was, really wasn't paying that much. Then we also did moving. I also had a moving company with my friend. We just started it and started moving stuff. Anything to generate some income, and we were doing it. And, you know, it was okay money. And then I looked into the web design. So when I looked into the web design, I went online, and back then Facebook was still new, and all these other up and coming companies were building websites. And I was like, these are all websites. I could just build stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure these guys make money. So I started looking, and I looked at Facebook, and then I looked at LinkedIn, and I was like, you know, I don't think I could build the, I could build it, but I can't build it by myself. But I looked at LinkedIn, and I really liked LinkedIn because it was a business website. Right. And I thought to myself, you know, a lot of businesses, when I check out their websites, they're really bad. Also, they're marketing poorly. And the reason I knew this is because I'd actually done some web marketing with a friend before, just a small project many years ago. And we were excellent at driving leads to companies like AT&T, even Amazon drove leads there. But these were different tactics. So I never thought about I thought about what if you could apply those tactics to small businesses. And so I decided to create a website. It was called Bay Area Commerce. And the idea was I would market these businesses on my Bay Area Commerce website. Uh-huh. And then you'd create a profile, you create an account, I'd market you, and you'd get these leads. And then I would get like 500 businesses paying $500 a month, and then I'd be rich. That was the idea. So I spent like a week building the websites, programmed everything. I learned, I got up to date on all the new website building languages at the time, built the website, put on one of my suits that I used to wear to my real estate presentations, and went out of the house, man. Went around and went business to business.
I heard that.
Yeah. I went to every business that I knocked, and I said, hey, I want to talk to you about how I can market your business online. And a lot of them said, no, not interested. And some of them were interested, but once they saw it, they didn't really understand what I was saying. So they're like, no, we don't think this is going to work. We don't have a website, or our website's ugly, or whatever it is. We have our own, a lot of them, we have our own website. So that was another one.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, where can I go where there's a lot of businesses that I can talk to? So I went to the Antioch Chamber of Commerce, and because they have a lot of businesses. And I said, hey, I'd like to talk to your businesses about businesses. And they were like, well, you know, you can come to one of our networking events and you get a chance to talk there. So I went to the networking event. I told them, hey, I market businesses on my website, Bay Area Commerce. And I showed up as Bay Area Commerce. Mm-hmm. And one of the gentlemen there who was on the board came to me right after that. And he said, you know, we need a website. Wow. He says, we need a website because we don't have a web presence at all. And I was like, well, what's your company? He was like, we're the Antioch Chamber of Commerce. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. He said, we're the Antioch Chamber of Commerce. And yeah, we don't really have a good website. And we believe it's hurting our membership. So would you consider building a website for us? I was very excited because I was like, I'm Antioch Chamber? Oh, man. I had it made. I couldn't wait to get home and tell my wife and everything. So they set up a meeting with the board. And I was like, you know, I'm going to go to the meeting. I had my presentation ready. I had my little laptop. Everything was ready.
Yeah.
I show up. I do the presentation. I show them all these strategies. I'm like, this is the things that we can do to increase membership. And I'm going through everything. I'm showing them. I even built a little prototype chamber website for them because I really wanted the gig. And for me, this was going to be, you know, thousands of dollars.
Right.
So at the end of it, they all say, hey, you think this is going to be great? We love it. Would you think about doing this for us for free? And I just blinked. Oh, I didn't know what I, you know, just kind of like I'm smiling right now. That's how I was just frozen that way. So I said, that's a lot of work. And they said, the guy just looked at me and goes, look, we're having some issues. They're temporary. And I know, I was like, I know, because I'm having issues too. Because like they're temporary. But look, if you build this in the future, we will hire you. Okay. Also, we will promote you to every business. We'll tell every business about you. Mm-hmm. And we'll credit you with everything. And I thought about it and I said, you know what? This is an opportunity here.
Right.
There was something in it for both of us, the chamber and myself. And what was interesting was I used to go on these runs every morning just to clear my mind, just to think, help me think, because I had really had to figure out what to do to help me think. And when I go on these runs, I had an iPod, if anyone can remember what the iPod is.
I still have one.
Yeah. I had this iPod. It was loaded with all these audio tapes. Everything from Tony Robbins to Brian Tracy to Jack Canfield.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody was on there, and I would just cycle through these. But it was Tony Robbins that I was listening to, and he was saying, "The best thing you can do when you don't have anything is to give something." And I didn't understand it at the time. Uh-huh. It's like, well, how are you going to give something when you don't have anything to give? He said, "Well," he said, "you have stuff to give. There's always something you can give. You're just not thinking about it well enough. But that's the best thing you can do when you have nothing." And he went into his story about how he would do these trainings, and he would just do them because he didn't have anything, but he just did them to help people. And then later on, he came back. So I said, okay, I'll do this. I'll give this site to the Antioch Chamber. And it turned out to being the best decision I ever made, because once I built the site, once I started helping them and working with them on their online presence, they just promoted me at every event.
Wow.
They're like, yeah, this website was built by Clifton Creative. No, it's built by Clifton. I wasn't Clifton Creative Web at the time. It's built by Clifton. Hire him for his Bay Area Commerce services.
Wow.
So, and so people started coming to me and wanting to get their websites built. And I kept telling them no, because I didn't want to build the website. What I wanted to do is I wanted to put them on my Bay Area Commerce site. And because that Bay Area Commerce site had this proprietary technology that I had built that was going to help market me and build something that I was later on going to sell it to LinkedIn for billions.
Right. Like, y'all not sticking to my plan.
Yeah. So after saying no to about the 10th person and realizing that those no's was not bringing any more money, I was still a two-figure net worth person. I said, okay, let me revisit this. So I went back and I looked at all those, you know, those people, and I said, okay, how much, because at the time I was like, how much do people even charge for websites? And I went and actually did the research, the market research on web design. So for web design at the time, yeah, web design was ranging anywhere from $3,500 for a very simple basic site to as high as $250,000 for a more complex website. Mm-hmm. And I said, wait, $250,000?
I had no idea.
I said, look, what's an example of a $250,000 website? And I went and looked at it, and yeah, I could build it. So I went to my wife. I said, honey, do you know I have a $250,000 per item skill? She said, you do? I said, yeah. She said, what is it? I said, websites. She said, really? She said, I said, yeah. She said, people will pay you that much? I said, they're paying somebody. Why not me? Right. Why not you? Yeah, right. Why not me? So I changed my business. I got rid of Bay Area Commerce and I changed it to Clifton Creative. I went to go buy Clifton Creative for the registration and everything. And it was already taken. Someone already had it. So I added web to the end. So it became Clifton Creative Web. Totally rebranded myself and went back out there. And when I went back out there, I started to promote the business. And it was, hey, we're Clifton Creative Web. We develop beautiful and effective websites that generate results. I'm going to build your website the same way I built my Bay Area Commerce. And what's going to happen is your website's going to do that work, but just for you. It's going to generate your business, generate your leads, and it's going to expand your digital footprint. And I started showing business owners how to leverage the internet. I started doing seminars, little events. I'd bring business owners together. I'd buy some refreshments and I'd put up a PowerPoint and I'd show them the anatomy of a website and how a business website could help them. And then also with the support of the Anya Chamber, the next thing you know, my business started to grow one small business at a time. Then pretty soon, medium-sized businesses started coming to me. I started generating results for these companies. And then they started telling their people about me. And before you knew it, in my first year, I earned about $80,000 as a freelance web designer. Then I started getting bigger jobs, and then it doubled the next year. And then the next year it doubled. And before you knew it, the rest is history.
There it is.
Fast forward 15 years. I walked out of my job as a title company rep September 6th. And I believe that was 2004 or 2005. Mm-hmm. I walked out. I crashed and burned 2008. I struggled through 2009, kind of putting this digital agency together. And by 2010, I was no longer hiding my car around the corner from the credit union. I was paying my bills back. And by 2013, we were moving out of that house into a new house.
That's right.
And so my company has continued to flourish since then.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is crazy. And one of the things I love about it is that here you come at a crossroad, and then you identified all the things that you were good at, made a list, start putting that stuff into action.
Yes.
And then you went on these morning runs. Or just walks, right? So personal development, you have to grow yourself in order to actually be able to recognize and sometimes take that next step. Otherwise, you just get complacent, or you just wouldn't know what to do.
That's very true, brother. The reality of it is, looking back on it now, I actually had to increase and improve my own value to other people. And I had to work on myself. at the time. I had to work on my skills. I had to work on my attitude, right? And I also had to have faith. You had to have faith because, you know, I'll never forget when I came up with the idea, when I said, okay, this is Clifton Creative Web, I went and I printed up these business cards. I put on my suit. I always wore this dark suit, gold tie, you know, black shoes, and I carried a briefcase that held my laptop. And when I walked out of the house and was going to the networking event, or I was going to meet that business owner, I was going to go, business door to door. I was going out to do that. I looked like somebody who was, you know, going to work on Wall Street. But the reality, a lot of people didn't realize at that time was those business cards, they were printed in my master bedroom, a little printer, right? That suit, okay, that I was wearing, it looked great on the outside, but on the inside, I had a hole in the armpit, and the pants had a hole in it, right? My socks had holes in them as well. Uh-huh. But I did smell good. And, you know, my
That's
wife
right.
always invested in good colognes for me. So I smelled good. and we were losing the house. You know, we were in foreclosure. And we just barely had enough to get by at the time. But when I was out there and I was presenting my stuff, I had to really block out all that and remember why I was doing it. And, I have a very strong belief that I could just keep going. I keep going from business to business. Every business can't say no. A lot of them said no. I think I went through about maybe 30 people before one person said, okay, I'll give this a try. And they gave me a try.
Wow.
You know, so, but you have to have faith. And the way that you express that you have faith is by taking action.
That's
you
right.
know, you can't say I have faith and belief in a thing and then sit in the same place.
Yeah.
That's not faith. Faith is actually action. So the way you show you have faith is how you act.
That's right.
So if I have faith in a thing, then my actions should prove my faith.
that's a nugget right there, right?
Yeah, that's how it works. Uh-huh. Right. So and that's essentially how it works. Is your actions prove your faith. It's a belief in something that's not seen, right?
Right.
But it's not really, you know, some people think believing is more of like a mental thing, right? I'm believing this for you, or I'm believing, but actually faith is the action part.
Right.
So I had faith in what I was doing, and I took action, and, you know, things didn't always go the way that I wanted them to, but that's okay. I knew what the end was.
Right.
I knew what I think. Before.
That's what makes us so resilient, right? Just those no's. And if you have a deep desire to accomplish something, you're not going to let anything stop you.
No.
You're just going to keep on pushing. And as you were talking, you started mentioning the suit. The first thing that I thought about was that movie Pursuit of Happiness, when Will Smith portrayed, what's his name, Chris Gardner?
Great movie.
Great movie. And he was intentional about his pursuit.
Yeah.
Pursuit to happiness, right? So
that's right.
It's the same thing.
The same thing.
Wow. And when you mentioned just going knocking on those doors and going to those businesses, was that during that time, was there any feelings that you might have had where you felt uncomfortable, or did you just feel like, you know what, I got to make this happen, so I'm going to get out of my comfort zone and just make it happen?
Oh man, very uncomfortable. Very, very uncomfortable. Tell you a funny story. The first business that I went to was a Vietnamese restaurant down the street from my house. And I went down there and I kind of like was loitering around the parking lot. So I was like, I better go inside before I get arrested. So... So I go into the restaurant, and I wanted to talk to the owner, right? So the lady, the host comes up and she's like, oh, is it a table for one or two? And in my mind, I thought I was saying, can I talk to the owner? But what came out of my mouth was, oh, it's just one today. So she went and sat me down. And I thought, why am I sitting down here? This is not why I came here. Right. I came here to talk to the owner. I didn't come here to eat. I can't even pay for the food that I'm sitting down to eat. So now I'm looking at the menu and I'm practicing in my head. Okay, when the waiter comes, I'm going to say, let me talk to the owner. Let me talk to the owner. Can I talk to the owner? And I'm going over it in my head. Yeah. Waiter comes around and I open my mouth to say, can I speak to the owner? And what comes out is, I'll have this number one thing here. What is this? Because it's all written in their language. It's not, you know, if you've ever been to the restaurant, it's not, there's a picture and then it's in their language. I want to have this thing. Next thing you know, I have this food in front of me and I'm eating the food and I'm just thinking to myself, why did I do this? What am I doing? Then I get up and I walked out and I went home. I went home. I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I went back, composed myself. I'm more broke now. So I was like, okay, no restaurants. So I said, I'm going to go to a place where I know I can't buy anything. So the next place that I went to was the car dealership. I was like, there's no way I'm coming out of here with any of these cars because so I can't buy. I don't have the money to buy it right now.
Oh,
so.
My God.
So I go into the car dealership and you know what? They were a little bit more easier because they approach you, right? They come to you. They think you're trying to buy a car. I'm dressed really nice. And no, when they approached me, I told them, I just said to them, hey, what if I could help you sell more cars? And they're like, well, how many more cars? I said, significantly more cars. And they said, okay. Oh, yeah, you got to talk to my manager. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, let me talk to your manager. And I went in and talked to the manager. And they're nicer to you because there's an off chance you might buy a car.
Right.
So they talked, they listened. They were very interested and they're very piqued. Like, hey, let's try it for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And they hired me 6 months for the Bay Area Commerce piece. Mm-hmm. And they're going to pay me... they were paying $500 for that service. And the goal was to get them paying customers in that 6 month time frame. Mm-hmm. And the way I would get people to sign up was I would say, I'll get you paying customers or I'll give you 100% of your money back.
Wow.
So they'd give me that $500. I'd park the money and then I'd get to work. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening is I did get them paying customers. They loved the service so much. They said, hey, can we up it? Can we continue? And so on. But I eventually transitioned away from that particular service and focused more on the websites once I transitioned to Clifton Creative Web. So was I uncomfortable? You better believe it. There's times where I just stood there. If I thought, and then pretty soon I stopped thinking. I just will walk straight. I forgot, stop thinking about what I'm going to say. I just say, God, I know you're going to put the words in my mouth. Let me just go in there. Sometimes it was just high and nothing else would come out. And sometimes I'd be on my A game and I'd just be spitting it out. And pretty soon I got very used to it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you and congratulations for listening to part one of the interview with Brother Clifton Mbanugo. If you thought part one was on fire, wait till part two. Stay tuned.